Good evening, everybody. That video that we just showed was a video about a girl who had a relationship with Christ, but then she walked away and she got into many things that she shouldn't have got into. People came into her life that brought her away from Christ, and you could see that in the video. Tonight we're going to have a night of responding to God's grace in our lives when Christ came into our lives and he took those things out of our lives and he made us new people. We're going to hear some testimony tonight from people who have not always lived for Christ, who have walked away like that, and it's going to be a powerful night. So I'm going to introduce these people to you. This is Duncan right here. This is Kevin. Playing the drums, his name is Ian. This is Kate. Shanna Kay. And Emily. So why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this night. Father, we praise you that you've allowed us to come here. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would humble our hearts now. Father, let us realize, Lord, that tonight is not about a worship team. Father, it's not about the way we sing or the way we play, Father, or the words we say, Father. It's about responding to you, Father. I pray, Lord, that your spirit would come now. Father, Lord, that we could see your grace in our lives, Father, and we could respond to you, Father, with hearts full of praise. As we hear from people tonight, Father, and as we hear from your word as well, Father, we pray that your spirit would come. Father, we pray for your blessing, Lord, that we could meet you here tonight. Father, we thank you that your word says where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also. Father, we know you are here. Father, I pray that we could see you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't we stand up? Sing.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
So take me as you find me.
So take me as you find me. All my fears and failures, Lord, fill my life again. Give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender all.
Savior.
Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Jesus conquered the grave.
Shine your light.
shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the
Psalm 50, 1-6. The Mighty One, God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before Him, and around Him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth that He may judge His people. Gather to me my consecrated ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens proclaim His righteousness, for God Himself is judge.
Thanks, Duncan. Well, the song we just sang about Christ being mighty to save, that is Jesus Christ, who is the Mighty One. And as we sing this next song, let's remember that Christ alone is our hope and is our strength, and we stand in His strength alone. Death of Christ I live.
commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand till he returns. Lord of all creation, water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle, glory to the Lord on high, God of wonders beyond our galaxy. What reason have I to doubt? would I dwell in fear, when all I have known is grace, my future in Christ is clear, my sins have been paid in full, there's no condemnation here.
Duncan to come up and share his testimony, and after that, Shannon Kay is going to share.
I grew up going to church every Sunday, every single Sunday. It meant nothing to me. I was 5, maybe 6 years old at the time, and I remember Mrs. Hooper took me aside one day in Sunday school. She said, "Duncan, this week, I'm going to introduce you to Jesus." And so I said a prayer. I said, "Jesus, please come into my life and be my personal Lord and Savior." I was really happy that day because everybody else had the same thing happen to them. But I can tell you now, looking back, even though I felt nice on the inside, I had no idea what I had just done. I had no idea what salvation meant. I didn't know that I was a sinner, and I didn't understand the concept of needing a Savior in the first place. I was, generally speaking, a pretty good kid. I rarely got into trouble, and I usually handed in my homework on time. If anybody would ask me, I would tell them that I was a Christian. I thought that was the right answer because I went to church every Sunday, and I prayed before I went to bed, and I prayed before I ate my food. Pretty sure I was a Christian. Skip ahead a few years. Once high school starts, I decide that I'm going to go to church a little bit less. Usually it was because I had a lot of homework to do, or maybe I was feeling a little tired from playing football and rugby. So I'd be like, "Mom, I don't want to go today. I'm tired. I have homework." okay with it just because she knew that I was busy. But this continued into a really bad habit. I stopped going altogether at one point. By the time I got to university, it had been a long time since I'd gone to church. In my first year, I wasted a lot of time. I went to class maybe half the time, maybe a little bit less than that. I never studied. I slept in every day, and I hung out with my friends, and I did a lot of stupid things. It was your typical worldly or non-Christian first year of university. Deep down inside, I remember feeling that I was really scared, and I felt desperately alone, even though I was popular, and I had a lot of friends, and I was involved in a lot of activities outside of school. I just had this empty feeling inside of me, and I had no idea why. I was in a strange place surrounded by strange people, but still, I was trying to have fun. So, not understanding why I was feeling like this, I would go out and get drunk with my buddies. I became addicted to internet pornography. I got involved in an unhealthy relationship with a girl. All I really wanted was to be loved and accepted for who I was, and I had no idea where to find that. So I tried everything the world tells you will make you happy and bring you fulfillment and meaning to your life. I already knew before I started doing these things that my drinking buddies didn't love me for who I was, and that pornography is filthy and vile, and it destroys intimacy rather than creating intimacy. And I also knew that this girl that I was seeing was bad news, and we didn't have a future together, and eventually she really hurt me a lot emotionally. My actions were foolish, shameful, selfish, and it was sin. I felt alone, and I didn't know what to turn to. I didn't know how to get my life back to the way it was before, when I was going to church every Sunday with my mom and being happy at school and all that. By the grace of God, I was introduced to some students who were part of this club on campus called Campus for Christ. This is back when I went to McMaster. I'm at UOIT now. I started hanging out with them a little bit more, and as I got to know them, I began to notice that there was something different about these people who went to Campus for Christ. I couldn't put my finger on what it was. They were just different, you know? You put 9 non-Christians and 1 Christian in a room. You don't know anybody. You know the Christians a little bit different. I can't explain it, but that's how it was for me. When I went to weekly meetings, I saw a lot of genuine friendships there, a lot of love, encouragement, respect, and joy. I really wanted to be a part of this, but I didn't know how. So I started out by hanging out with them more, by going out to weekly meetings. I got involved with a Bible study, and I started going to church again. As I got to know the heart of God more and more during this time, I realized that I had a big decision to make. I could either continue living for myself and for my own glory in a life that is dominated by sin and will ultimately lead to death, or I could live a God-glorifying life, honoring Him and refusing to set my desires on the things of this world. Guess what I chose? February 9th, 2007, I recommitted my life to Christ. I spent my childhood learning about Jesus in Sunday school, but it wasn't until I was 19 years old that I would ultimately understand what it meant to be a Christian. At first, things were going really, really great, but then after the first couple months, I noticed that one by one, all my old sin habits began to creep back into my life. One of the most important lessons I learned is that your Christian walk is not something that you should ever try to do on your own. You need brothers and sisters to walk beside you, you need mentors to guide you, and you also need people that you can build up and disciple. Living for Christ in university means knowing what your priorities are and sticking to them. This will involve sacrifice on your part. As you spend more time getting to know the character of God, you will learn to love the things that He loves and hate the things that He hates. My sin didn't become real to me until I understood that God hates sin. He does. God doesn't want most of your heart. He wants all of it. That means you can't hold anything back. When you decide that you want to commit your life to Christ, you give Him everything. That meant for me, I had to give up some of my favorite sins. I had to give up a lot of things that I enjoyed doing that brought me temporary pleasure that I was mistaken for joy. Really, it was bringing me death, and it was bringing me despair, and it was tearing apart my relationships and building the opposite of intimacy with God. Stand up for what you believe in. Learn to say no when somebody asks you, "Hey, want to come to the bar with us tonight?" No. "Hey, we're watching a movie. What's it rated? R. Want to come watch it?" No. Learn how to say no. It's one of the most important things you can do in university. flee from temptation. Study your Bible and earnestly seek the Lord in your prayers during your quiet times. Love the things God loves and hate the things He hates. Thank you.
Amen, Duncan. Hi, my name is Shanna Kay. I'm in my third year of nursing at UOIT. What does Campus Church Ministry mean to me? It means a lot, and I'll tell you why. It was at UOIT that I came to understand God's grace. Like Duncan, I grew up in church, in a Seventh-day Adventist church, and I don't remember hearing about, I heard about grace, like we sing about it, grace, grace, God's grace, but I've never like thought about it, grace, wow. And then I joined a group on campus with campus churches called, it's called Christianity Explore, and they were talking about God's grace, and I was there, and they were saying that there's nothing you can do to save yourself, and I was like, what are you guys talking about? Of course you have to do something to save yourself. But then as I go, I realize the reason why I always fail when I try to live for God, it's because I actually can't do anything to save myself. So now that I'm saved and I've experienced God in my life, His joy, His peace, His everything, I look around me and I see so many lost people on campus. So many girls, especially, they lower themselves because they don't know their worth. And they worth so much to God, but they don't know that. And I have this joy in me, and it's so hard to keep it within yourself. But at the same time, it's so hard to go out there and share because you would either get rejected or you're going to be hated for it. So it's a challenge. But at the same time, you want to. And we have to because that's what we're called to do, to go out and spread the gospel. So it's very important to me to just, like, spread God's love to everyone on campus. And I just encourage everyone here to just go out, be bold, and pray for us to be bold because it takes a lot to be bold and courageous. So that's my testimony.
Can stand up. Thank you, Duncan and Shannon Kay, for sharing. It's definitely a blessing to hear what God has done in your lives and your challenges and encouragement to us.
All right, so I have a couple verses I'm going to read you which lead us into our next song. The first is from Job 38, verse 25 to 27. It says, who cuts a channel for the torrents of rain and a path for the thunderstorm, to water a land where no man lives, to a desert with no one in it, to satisfy a desolate wasteland and make it sprout with grass? And then the second one is Job 1:21, and it says, and Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. And now let's sing Blessed Be Your Name. That passage ties into that song just perfectly.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. And blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. And blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. For there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory. Name, you give and take away. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name.
Give and take away.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name.
Give and take away.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. I know he's rescued my soul. His blood has covered my sin. I believe. I believe. My shame is taken away. My pain is healed in his name. I believe. I believe.
I'll raise a banner.
I'll raise a banner. My Lord has conquered the grave. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives.
He lives.
I know he's rescued my soul. His blood has covered my sin. I believe. I believe. My shame is taken away. My pain is healed in his name. I believe. I believe. I'll raise a banner. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. Redeemer is. You lift my burdens, and I'll rise with you. I'm dancing on this mountaintop to see your kingdom come. My Redeemer lives. 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 My Redeemer lives.
Higher, be lifted higher.
touch your name, be lifted higher. Stronger, you are stronger. Sin is broken. You have saved me. It is risen. Christ is risen. Jesus, you are Lord of all. You are stronger. You are stronger. Sin is broken. You have saved me. Risen, Christ is risen, Jesus, you are Lord of all.
You know, in the Gospels, it talks about the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ. When he came riding in on a donkey, and people put their coats and palm branches on the ground, and they cried, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. This next song we're going to sing does not talk about the first coming of Christ. It talks about the second coming of Christ. He will come again on the clouds with fire. He will come in glory, and he will come as a king. Let's sing this song, Hosanna. Thank you.
Hosanna in the
highest. Okay, please be seated. And ask Chelsea to come up. Chelsea's going to share a little bit. After Chelsea shares, there's some special music coming up and testimonies as well.
Hi. A few weeks ago, I went on the youth retreat and I asked Jesus to forgive my sins, and I gave my life to God. Now I am changed, and this is how I want to live for Him. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 15:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. This is how I want to live. I will honorably show myself through my thoughts, actions, and speech. I choose to be full of faith. I will not only be a hearer, but a doer of the word of God. I will serve before I demand. I will love and not hate, and I will give before I take. Today I choose to make a difference in the world and to be a part of something bigger than myself. I choose to dedicate my life to prayer and ask God for His miraculous power and the courage to do the impossible. I will make godly relationships a priority in my life. As I esteem others higher than myself, I want to live my life in such a way as to glorify God. This is my testimony.
Hello. For all of you who don't know me, I'm Jade. This is Jessica, and that's Madeline. And we are going to be singing / playing You Made Us Your Own.
We were rude. With the lavish feast, you welcome them.
Year with Word of Life wasn't actually in school. We were on the impact team traveling around Canada, just basically preaching the gospel and singing and encouraging those believers who needed to be encouraged, and just doing meetings all over the place. It was just a big eye-opening, I think, for me, that I needed to be doing ministry with my life. And I really felt like God was calling me for ministry there. And that was a huge step for me. Now I'm in second year. And basically, guys, like, as a just kind of walking away from this testimony. At the Word of Life Bible Institute, we learn a lot of Bible, but also we got opportunities to go out and apply what we learned. And guys, it's so important, first of all, to be getting into God's Word, but second of all, getting involved in whatever capacity that you possibly can, because you know what, it takes just a willing heart to be able for God to do something through you, and to live what you learn in God's Word out in your own life. So I just challenge you guys, if you guys aren't involved in something, this is a church right here, you guys have local churches, wherever you're from, you've got local churches that you can be involved with, and I just challenge you to be involved today.
Okay, my name is Christine, and Kevin and I are doing the same thing. I feel like I've followed in his footsteps his whole life, but it's really neat because being at Word of Life, actually I'll just kind of start from the beginning. My whole plan from coming out of high school was to go into nursing at Durham, and that's what I wanted to do. I think the theme of the last 2 years has been, yes, I make my plans, but the Lord is directing my path, because he's made that so evident in the choices that I've made the last couple of years. I came out of Word of Life in Owen Sound last year, graduated, and literally 2 weeks before I went to New York, I was going to go to Durham, and I was going to do nursing, and that was my plan, but the Lord provided in a miraculous way. Someone offered to pay for my whole school year this year, and I haven't had to pay a penny for it, and to me, that was, I'm so speechless, and I don't think I appreciate it as much as I should, because that is, that's just of the Lord, and so that was a step of faith, kind of choosing to do that. But not only that, when I got to New York, I just felt like the ministry opportunities were being just kind of put in front of me, and exactly where my heart is. I know, Shanika, you were saying that you see the girls around in your campus and you have a heart for them, and I just feel like I've had a heart for women in my life. And when I got to school, I was put on a women's ministry team. There's about 12 of us on the team that travel around the states, and we put on women's conferences on loneliness and insecurity and just purity and just so many different things that women struggle with. But the biggest thing for me being on that team is to see how the Word of God can change someone. we talk to these women about Ephesians 1, where it talks about you are adopted, you were predestined before time, and you are loved. And to see these women just switch like that and see them say to themselves, really, that's what God sees me, that's how God sees me, it changed my life, seeing God change other people's life. And it's been the most incredible experience being able to be a part of that. And just seeing how the Word of God has come alive to me, I think it's so easy to, Kevin was saying, just think of it as knowledge. And I know last year that's all it was for me. But it didn't really hit me until this year that I could have a really intimate relationship with the Lord. And so that was really it for me. If there's anything, like, before it was reading the Word of God, and it started to become like a textbook to me, because that's what happens sometimes if you let it, and that's what I let it be. But this year was more, I started to see how the Word of God can come alive and change people's lives. So that's just one thing that I would share with you. And I think one thing, the last little while I've been put challenges have been put before me to make decisions and make them quick and make the right one. And I think there's been some really big ones lately, and for me it's always been a challenge. I'm a very indecisive person, and so something that I kind of came across was in Proverbs 4. One of my friends was sharing with me. It says in verse 25 to 27, let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your eyes directly before you, make level paths for your feet, and walk only ways that are firm. Do not swerve from the left or to the right. Keep your foot from evil. And that, for me, I picture it as, and one of our teachers this year said, look at something in the future, and not in the future, ahead of you, and keep that your focus. And I know they talked about it in church too, one of the breaks that we were home, Pastor Jacques was preaching on it. And keep that straight, and do not swerve from the left to the right, and make that your focus, and walk towards that. Not something that's moving in front of you, but something that is solid. And the only thing that's solid in my life is my relationship with the Lord. And that is the only thing that we can depend on, and that has been the biggest thing for me, is to see that reoccurrence in my life. The only thing that will only ever get me anywhere in my life is my walk with the Lord. So that has been the biggest blessing for me. So basically, the song that Kevin and I are going to be singing is a song that a couple of friends and I sang at school a few weeks before March break here. And it's called... Lord of Lords by Hillsong. And basically, I just want to read a couple of the verses here, because it's just so powerful to me. I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but it says, beholding your beauty is all that I long for. To worship you, Jesus, is my sole desire. For this very heart you have shaped for your pleasure, purpose to lift your name higher. Here in surrender, in pure adoration, I enter your courts with an offering of praise. I am your servant come to bring you glory, as fit for the work of your hands. And then this verse is kind of sums it all up for me. Spirit now living and dwelling within me, keep my eyes fixed ever on Jesus' face. Let not the things of this world ever sway me. I'll run till I finish the race. And for me, that's what our whole walk is about. That's what the Christian life is about, to keep our focus on Jesus' face and don't let anything sway us. So we're just going to sing that song.
Jesus is my sole desire, for this very heart you have shaped for your pleasure, purpose to lift your name high. Here in surrender, in pure adoration, to your courts with an offering of praise, I am your servant come to bring you glory, as fit for the work of your hands. Now I
unto the Lamb who sits on the throne be glory and honor and praise. All of creation resounds with the song, worship and praise in the Lord of Lords. Spirit now living and dwelling within me, keep my eyes fixed ever on Jesus' face. Let not the things of this world ever sway me, I'll run till I finish the race. Singing unto the Lamb who sits on the throne be glory and honor and praise. All of creation resounds with the song, worship and praise the Lord. Now unto the Lamb who sits on the throne be glory and honor and praise. All of eternity echoes the song, worship and praise Him, the Lord of Lords. Holy Lord, You are holy. Jesus Christ is Lord. To the Lamb who sits on the throne be glory and honor and praise. All of creation resounds with the song, worship and praise the Lord. Now unto the Lamb who sits on the throne be glory and honor and praise. All of eternity echoes the song, worship and praise Him, the Lord of Lords.
Please stand.
Afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shear is silent, so he did not open his mouth. And then the second one is Philippians 2, 8 to 11. So it says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen. So Jesus Messiah.
Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, rescue for
For this next song, now we're going to get the guys to sing the first verse, and the girls are going to sing the second verse, and we're all going to sing together on the chorus. Joshua Boyle and Jordan and Mike to come up, and they're going to share a little bit of testimony with us. They're going to share some pictures and stuff about Jamaica, and they're going to be talking about what God is doing in their lives and has been doing since that trip.
guys. Is it working? Okay, just so everyone knows, this is a slideshow of what we did in Jamaica and stuff we got to do. So,
pictures running. We're running short on time, so we're just going to keep them going behind me so you can keep watching and just ignore me a little bit. But anyway, I just want to share my testimony a little bit. First, I'll start off by telling you I became a Christian when I was 7 years old. I was alone in my room, and I prayed and asked the Lord to come into my heart and to save me from my sins. And I had a basic understanding of what he had done for me. I didn't have complete depth that I have now, but I knew that I was a sinner and I was going to hell unless I made a commitment. I'd love to be able to say that I always walked right with the Lord, but at times I had strayed in my life. When I was a teenager, I followed my friends who were not Christians, and I slowly became like them. I would love to say that I didn't, but I did. And slowly I could feel the Spirit of God moving in my heart and moving in my life and bringing people into my life who were Christians, and they'd convict me. They would ask me questions that I didn't have the answers to, like why I was doing this or why I was doing that if I said I was a Christian. And the Lord drew me back to himself slowly. I was like, it was like the parable of the lost sheep. I was wandering, and he came and he saved me and he brought me back to himself. And I ended up going on this Jamaica missions trip. Afterwards, I had been praying for a while for the Lord to use me wherever he wanted to. I was praying, "Oh, go, Lord, send me." And he did. He, through a whole bunch of amazing situations, he put me there. And it was exactly where he wanted me. He was good for me, and it was a huge blessing for me to go and to minister to the people in Jamaica as well as be ministered to by the people in Jamaica. They had a real passion for God, and it was really encouraging to see the level of love that they have for God that you don't see often in Canada. You see a surface Christian or how I was when I was in high school. You see people who come to church and they live one way and they go back and they live like the world the rest of the week. And it was just nice to see people who truly love God and want to serve Him with everything they have. And I want to challenge you guys tonight, because a lot of you are in high school. I want to challenge you to read your Bibles and to follow God and not go where I went. If I could go back, I would love to go back, and I would love to follow God my entire life, because there's nothing better you can do with your life. Nothing at all that you can do better with your life. And the things that I ended up doing, they hurt me. And like Duncan said, like, they were destructive to my life. Like, nothing productive came from it. And I just wish that I never had gone there. Anyway, that's all I have.
Okay, my name is Joshua Boyle, and obviously I went on the mission trip to Jamaica back in February, and that's some more testimony. There's not really much to say about my childhood, other than I came to know God as my Savior at an early age. I think it was 7. I'm not entirely sure, but I also remember. So I came to know the Lord at an early age. I was raised in a Christian family. I've been going to church pretty much my whole life, every Sunday, and I go to youth group almost every Friday. And so, for the most part, for a good part of my life, I never really got into anything like, as people would put, bad sins, as in like I never did drugs or anything like that. And like, I'm not saying, but like, people might say, like, oh, he's not a bad guy, like, he doesn't do bad things. But the thing, what was the real problem in my life was that I wasn't doing anything for God. I was just coasting through my life, doing nothing pretty much, for the most part, just filling my life with pointless things that didn't really get me anywhere. But anyways, I got the opportunity to go on the Jamaica trip, and for a while I doubted my reasons for going, because I know my two brothers, my older brothers, they went on a mission trip before me, and for a while I just thought, well, I'll just do it because they did it. So I ended up in Jamaica, and I was like, okay, I guess God wants me here, because here I am. So, and basically, well, this is in Jamaica, like Mike said, like we went down to to minister to the people, but I think more than anything, they ministered to us. Like, I don't know, like, when we were at church, like, the first Sunday, it was, I was blown away. Like, when they would just, like, it didn't matter, like, when they were worshiping God, they'd sing, like, with all their hearts, and they'd pour themselves out. And it was, let me tell you, like, it's hard to explain, but it just, like, it brought tears to my eyes. It was really something. But anyways, I went down as a part of the construction team, and I'm the youngest member of the team, and I'm also probably the smallest. And so for a long time, I was like, people say, okay, you're gonna be on the construction team. I was like, I've never done anything like that before. So I went down there literally not knowing anything what I was going to be doing, other than I was working on building the roof in the church. And anyways, when I got there the first day, as some of the pictures you can see at the church and stuff like that, I didn't know how I was going to get through the week. I was like, well, this work is way too hard. We had to get, like, these buckets of rocks and dirt and bring them up a hill, up a ladder, and onto the roof. And, like, so doing that once, that wouldn't be bad. But we had to do that for hours, for many days. And let me tell you, like, me not having much work experience at all would not have been able to do that on my own. And I only know that it's because of God that gave me the strength to do what I needed to do down there. There's no way I could have done it on my own strength. like no way. And there was times when that hill was coming up the side, it seemed to get steeper and steeper and steeper, and I just didn't want to go. But then I just said, God, just give me the strength, Lord. Let me do your will, Lord. Let your will be done, man. And God just gave me the strength to do it for the rest of the week. And it was awesome. But I have a verse, and it's awesome because it was literally the day before I left that Christine and my sister called from Word of Life, and she just wanted to talk to me about going and stuff. And she gave me this verse, and it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And when she gave this to me, she said to circle every time it says all and abound. So this is it. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all time, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And I just think it's awesome because when you ask God to help you to do his work, he doesn't just give you some power. He doesn't just say, like, okay, this is what you need, and you go do it. He gives you grace in abundance. He gives you more than you need to serve him, and it's just awesome. But so one of the things that I struggled with is when I was coming home and on the plane and stuff after all we did, and I was wondering, like, how on earth am I going to be able to go back and after all that and live for God? I didn't know. I didn't know what I was doing when I came back. But sure enough, when I came back, God wasn't done working in my life. Sure enough, when I come back, we had a Thirsting for God conference. And that even hit home for me. We it spoke of repentance, and it talked about being a useful tool for God. And it was just awesome, and it really convicted me. And even after that, it was actually just this week, God wasn't finished with teaching me things yet. Because just this week, I went to an LTP program, and leadership training program, and I don't know, it's just awesome because after Jamaica, I was like, man, I went on a missions trip. That's like the big thing, you know what I mean? Like, what else can God do in my life? But when I came back, he proved me wrong. He's like, no, I have more for you to learn, I have more for you to understand, and more for you to do. And now all that said, I don't know, I just want to live my life for God, and I don't want to be lazy, and I don't want to coast through my life as I did for so many years before. I want to live for God, and I want him to be the only reason that I live, and I want to be able to offer up myself and everything I know, all I am, as a living sacrifice to him, and give it all to him. And I just pray and hope that you can do so as well.
Okay, so we've all seen it, we've all heard it. Who wants to go now? Yeah? A couple people? That's it? Well, maybe I shouldn't say this, then. I'll just go back and sit down. When do you guys want to go? We can go anytime. Like, Monday, we're back in school. Why not then? Like, we've all heard the Great Commission. I'll read it again. Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Every nation, not just third world nations, not just the nations we think need it, every nation. Do you know what a nation is? Dictionary.com says this: a body of people associated with a particular area, united usually by a language or a governing body. To me, that sounds like a school. That sounds like a workplace. Why are we waiting? Missionaries don't have to go overseas. Everyone should be a missionary. And especially to the students. You can reach fellow students in a way no other person can. You live the lives they live. You experience what they experience. You know what they're going through. But even Monday is too far away for us to start. We can start tonight. We can spend time as missionaries tomorrow. On Sunday, we can do this through prayer. Prayer is one of the most important tools of a missionary. I've experienced this in so many ways. But first, let me share with you from John 17. This is Jesus praying for all believers. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory and the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself be in them. I'd like to take this time to share a video with you from Haiti after the earthquake.
The sun was rising on the morning of February 12, 2010. I could hardly believe my eyes. The crowd was gathering right in the shadow of the presidential palace there in Port-au-Prince. President Preval had canceled the annual Mardi Gras celebration and called his nation to 3 days of fasting and prayer. Pastor Rene Joseph, along with other national spiritual leaders, only had about 5 days to organize this event. And as the day began to break, there were more people than the eyes could even see. They were standing with their hands extended to heaven as Pastor Rene Joseph stepped to the microphone and gave the opening call. There were desperate Haitians crying out to God Almighty to forgive them and heal their country. There must have been 1 million or more filling that main square in the downtown area. Some had climbed trees, some were sitting on rooftops, some were sitting on tops of automobiles. From 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. each day for those 3 days, they came. Scriptures were read, prayers were prayed, songs of worship were offered up, declarations of repentance were made. The Prime Minister even arrived early the first morning. Oh, he did not speak. He simply stood there weeping for over an hour. He left only to return a few hours later, and he had President Preval with him, who then addressed the crowd. And the pastors laid their hands upon him and prayed the blessing of God over him as he stood there calling upon God to heal his country. You see, here was a nation who had been brought to her knees, and God was pleased. There were some 3,000 confirmed conversions during those 3 days, and of that number, 101 were confirmed to have been voodoo priests. You see, heaven opened over Haiti on February 12, 2010, and the Holy Spirit began to rain down. I can tell you this, it is still raining.
This is what happens when a nation humbles itself and prays. This is just one example. we don't always have to be on such a level. There's at a corporate prayer meeting, much like the ones that are here. This is in Hamilton. A pastor felt led to pray for those trapped in the rubble. They prayed for them, prayed for protection for them, prayed that angels may be dispatched to look after them. Here's the report. 1 week of being trapped in the rubble, a 15-day-old baby was pulled out. 11 days, a 24-year-old male. 15 days, a 16-year-old female. And finally, at the 27-day mark, humanly impossible to survive without water, a 28-year-old male was pulled from the rubble. This man was extremely dehydrated. He shouldn't have even been alive. But when the doctors checked him out, his liver was in perfect functioning order. The man claimed that throughout his ordeal, there was men in white cloaks bringing him water to survive. But the doctors couldn't believe this. They wrote it off as him being delusional. But even this, we can still pray on a personal level. I have experienced this. I've seen a child come to Christ 2 days before being killed. I have myself been angry, upset with the Lord for the situations that I'm in, for the trouble I'm bearing. I cried out. And I ended up spending an hour and a half with a complete stranger talking on the beach. But that's not the amazing thing. Every burden that was on my heart, he brought up in conversation. I did nothing. He brought it up and spoke to me about it. This is the power of prayer and of being a missionary. Spreading the word and just spreading the gospel. You don't have to go somewhere far away. You don't have to be trained. You just need to talk to someone. Be bold. Talk to anyone who knows what they're going through. Maybe you're going through the same thing. And I just challenge you to come to prayer meetings. You can't always make them. But pray by yourself. Get together in a small group. Nathan and I are going to be starting doing so. We're going to be looking for a couple other guys. But we're getting together to pray and to keep each other accountable. But it's like we sang earlier. The revival is stirring as we pray and seek the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you so much, guys. That's why we're here tonight. That's the reason we're here. We need to be willing to give up our sin. We need to be willing to start that today. And we hear it a lot. We hear it all the time. We've been hearing it so much. But if you haven't done that, if you haven't made that change in your life, in your heart, then do it tonight, as Jordan said. Make it right now. God desires to do a work through every person who calls upon his name. He desires every Christian to be a leader. And a leader for him, and we all need to step up to that. We all need to step up and be that and do that. And as we sing about being before God's throne, having our perfect plea as Jesus Christ, that gives us a strength that is so amazing. We don't have to doubt ourselves anymore. And we sing about his amazing grace, and we're going to hear tonight from the word about turning away from our sin and embracing the grace of God. So let's stand and sing.
Before
is our prayer tonight.
I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but I do think that it's important just to get into the Word for a few minutes before we close our time together tonight. And I've been blessed, I've been encouraged to see what God has been doing in the hearts of all the young people, not only in this church, but I see it in a lot of different places. And I just want to share with you tonight that as a local church, we have been praying for 5 years every single Thursday night in this church, that God would pour out His Spirit and revive His people. We've been asking God to make us a people of prayer, of purity, and a passion. If you want to be used by God tonight and for the rest of your life as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have got to be godly. God sets apart the godly for Himself. The Bible says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy.
And God will only use believers that have surrendered themselves to Jesus Christ, that are not conforming themselves to the pattern of this world, but that are being transformed by the renewing of their minds. That's the challenge that rests on me, and that's the challenge that rests on you if you belong to Christ. We've got to come out from the world and be separate. We've got to be a holy nation, a peculiar people, a people who belong to God. For what reason? So that we might declare the praises of Him who called us by His glory and by His goodness to those that are lost. And so the challenge is, how do I live a godly life in a sinful world? What are some of the things that I can do as a believer that will protect me, safeguards in my life that I can bring into my life that will keep me from falling into sin? And Solomon talks about that in Proverbs chapter 7. There's 27 verses. I'm going to read them to you. I just want to share six principles very, very quickly. Listen to what Solomon says. My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. And call understanding your kinsmen. They will keep you from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words. At the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice. I saw among the simple. I noticed among the young men a youth who lacked judgment. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house at twilight as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. Then came out a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. She is loud and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner she lurks. She took hold of him and kissed him, and with a brazen face she said, I have fellowship offerings at home. Today I fulfilled my vows. So I came out to meet you. I looked for you and have found you. I've covered my bed with covered linens from Egypt. I perfume my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deep of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. My husband is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He took his purse with money, and he will not be home till full moon. With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into the noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing that it will cost him his life. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. Many are the victims she's brought down. Her slain are among a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the very chambers of death. Six principles that will protect you from falling in this. And principle number one is this: consider the explicit and implicit consequences of the temptation. Where is yielding to the temptation going to take you? It is going to lead you to death. Listen, you've heard testimonies tonight from young people who have told you that when they went astray, it destroyed their lives. And so consider the consequences of your sin. Sin always leads to death. Listen to what Solomon says in verse 22. He says, all at once he followed like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing that it'll cost him his life. You want to live a godly life? You want to live a holy life? Consider what the consequences of yielding to your sin is. It will bring death. You're putting a noose around your own neck. Number two, never expose your life to a situation where you know that you will fall into temptation. Did you hear that? Never expose your life to a situation where you know that you're going to be tempted. Safeguard your weaknesses and do not expose them to temptation. Listen to what Solomon says in verse 7. I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who lacked judgment. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house at twilight as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. Don't put yourself in harm's way, is what the scripture is saying. Don't put yourself in a situation where you know you're going to fall. Solomon says this in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and go on your way.
don't even put yourself in that situation. If you know that you're going to fall into sin, if you know that you're tempted in an area of your life, stay away from that area. What did Jesus say? You've heard that it was written, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you, do not even look at a woman lustfully. If a man looks at a woman lustfully in his heart, he's committed adultery. Then what did he say after that? If your right eye caused you to sin, what did he say? Gouge it out. If your right hand caused you to sin, cut it off. What's he saying? Stay away from the sin. Stay away from the temptation. Do whatever you have to do to get that thing out of your life, no matter what it is. Put it to death. Stay away from it. Number three, when the temptation is strong, focus your attention on the Word of God. When the temptation is strong, focus your attention on the Word of God. You remember Jesus in the wilderness, tempted by the devil. What does the Bible say? When the devil tempted him, Jesus said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." And all of those three quotations are taken from the book of Deuteronomy. What does that tell you? I'm going to tell you what it tells you. While Jesus Christ was being tempted in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, he was meditating on the book of Deuteronomy. He was hiding the word of the Father in his mind and in his heart. And every time Satan came to him to tempt him, Jesus Christ quoted Scripture. He memorized Scripture. He yielded himself to the Word of God. And that's exactly what Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 7. He says this, "My son, keep my words. Store up my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and you will live. Guard my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. Call understanding your kinsman." You want to overcome temptation? Number one, consider the consequences. Number two, avoid the sin. Number three, hide God's word in your heart. Hide God's word. Listen, guys, read the Bible. Read the Bible. Memorize Scripture. This book is life to the soul. Life to the soul. The more you get into this word and let God speak to you and let God's word permeate your mind, permeate your heart, you will have a fire burning inside of you because it'll be the fire of God's truth living in your life. You don't read God's word in your life and you will stray. You will fall into sin. Because the only thing that's going to be filling your mind is your own sin. David said, "Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." Number four, when you're facing temptation, call on the Lord and acknowledge his presence and his grace is with you. What am I saying there? Pray. Pray. Remember when Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, he brought Peter, James, and John with him, and he went a little bit further in the garden. What did he say to him? He says, "Watch and pray with me, so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." The more we spend time in the presence of Jesus Christ, seeking his face in prayer, you are strengthened by the Spirit in your soul. I'm going to tell you, not only pray privately, listen to me, pray corporately. I'm going to tell you this. I don't think, I've maybe missed in the last 5 years a total of 10 times praying for revival. And every single time I've come out to this church on a Thursday night to seek God, God has blessed my soul. I've walked out of this place full of the Spirit. I've walked out of this place with a renewed vision in my heart and in my life. You want to overcome temptation in your life? Spend time with God in prayer. Number five, if you fail in your temptation, remember to confess your sin immediately, turn away from it, and ask the Lord for his grace and for his forgiveness. Can I tell you something here? Keep short accounts with God. Keep short accounts with God. You sin in your mind? Confess that sin immediately. Ask God to forgive you and cleanse you. You sin with your eyes? Confess that sin immediately. Ask God to forgive you and cleanse you. You sin with your words? Confess that sin immediately. Ask God to forgive you. You sin with your attitudes or with your desires or with your motives or with your affections or you rebel in your will or you sin with your body? Confess that sin to God immediately. Ask him to forgive you and cleanse you and set your feet back on the path to following Christ. Keep short accounts with God. And number six, share your struggles with someone who cares. Get an accountability partner.
I can't tell you how important that is, guys. You know what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3? See to it that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that you will not be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Get an accountability partner, somebody that you can go to and say, listen, I'm struggling with this area in my life. I need you to pray for me. I've got an accountability partner. Every Tuesday morning I call him on the phone, and for an hour I talk to him. And we talk about our lives. We talk about what God's doing in our hearts, where we need to change, and we pray for one another on the phone. You need an accountability partner. You know, I think God can do great and awesome things. And I'm going to tell you something, guys, and I'm going to stop right here because I don't want to go till 10 o'clock. You guys have pizza and pop and all that kind of stuff waiting for you. But I want to tell you this, guys. If God is going to do a mighty work in this nation, it's not going to come from the generation my age. We're getting old and we're going to die. It's going to come through you. You are the church of tomorrow. You are the young people that are going to be leaders in the church of Christ in 10 years, in 15 years, in 20 years. What kind of church is Canada going to be like if your hearts are not consumed by the glory of God? What kind of church is going to be in Canada if you guys, young people, are not willing to follow Christ with all of your heart? We can sing the songs, we can come to church, but as we've heard tonight, if you're not walking the walk, it's useless, absolutely useless. The Apostle Paul says, in view of God's mercy, I urge you to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Are you willing to do that tonight? Are you willing to surrender yourself completely to Christ? Maybe you've been playing a game with God. Maybe you're here tonight and you, on the outside, look like you are walking with the Lord, but you're not. You know that you're not. You know that you're not. You know you're playing games. You know that you're not serious in relationship with Christ. Tonight you can change. Tonight you can say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I've been an idolater. I've got other gods in my life. You're not first. Are you willing to ask God to change you tonight and forgive you? Fill you with His grace. Fill you with His Spirit. Use you for His glory. Are you willing to do that, young people? Are you willing to do that? Maybe you're here tonight and you don't even know Jesus Christ. You've never come to that place where you've asked Christ to save you from your sins. You can ask Jesus to save you tonight. You can ask Jesus to come into your life tonight. I'm going to pray. And if you want to talk to me after this meeting tonight and you want to say, Pastor Jacques, listen, there's something wrong in my life and I want to surrender to Christ, you come and see me. If you want to ask me about how you can be saved if you're not saved, you come and see me. I just want to leave you with this challenge. He is holy. And He's called us as His people to be just like Him. He's given us the grace and the power we need to live that kind of life. Let's say yes to Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank You and praise You so much for the glorious grace that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank You and praise You so much that it's through His blood, through His righteousness, that we are Your people. You have saved us. You have called us to Yourself by Your divine grace. You have sealed us with Your Spirit, Lord. You've set us free from the power of sin. You've set us free from the dominion of darkness. You've brought us into the kingdom of Your Son. And we praise You and we thank You for that. Lord, Your word says that Your divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of You. Father, I pray for myself and I pray for every single believer under the sound of my voice in this prayer tonight. Lord, revive us. Make us a people of prayer, Father God. Make us a people of purity. Make us a people of passion. A passion for You, Lord. A passion for Your word. A passion for Your glory. A passion for Your people. A passion for the lost and for their salvation. Father, make us holy like Jesus Christ. Father God, cleanse us from our sin. Change us inside out like we sang tonight. Your word says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Your word says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Your word says, clean the inside of the cup and of the platter, and the outside will also be clean. And so, Father, cleanse us from within. Change our hearts, Lord. Purify our hearts. Purify our minds. Purify our bodies, Lord. Give us the grace, dear Father, to live the holy and righteous life that You have saved us to live. Lord, may we as Your church stand up. And may we as Your church stand out in a sinful and wicked generation that needs to see that Jesus Christ is Lord. Only You can do that, Father God. Revive us, I pray. Pray for these young people, Lord.
protect them. Be with them, Father. Give them the grace to fight the good fight of the faith. Give them the grace to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. And give them the grace to live that self-controlled, upright, and godly life in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself before us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do that which is good. Lord, revive us by Your grace. Revive us by Your Spirit, Father God. Get a hold of all of our hearts and help us leave this place tonight renewed by Your grace, renewed by Your Word, renewed by Your Spirit to live for Your glory. And if there's anyone here tonight who doesn't know Jesus Christ, I pray that by Your Holy Spirit and by Your Word and by Your Gospel, Lord, You would open up their hearts and open up their minds and bring them to repentance and faith by Your divine grace, that they might call on the name of Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth and be justified through His blood. I leave it all in Your hands, Father, in Jesus' name.